Many of us would affirm of God's unfailing love and God's faithfulness even in a difficult time that we are living in. God is always with us. As we were reminded through the Acts of the Apostles for the past few weeks, how the early believers were strengthened by the Holy Spirit and the Lord was with them in every step of the way to fulfill the plan or the purposes that He had for them. And as we engage in this Acts of the Apostles, be encouraged to walk more closely with God so that we can make His name known with boldness and with zeal. Today I want to spend some time looking at Acts chapter 18, the first 11 verses, on the theme called Partnership in Ministry. Partnership in ministry. Let's pray and ask God as we spend some time looking at His Word. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We pray as we spend some time, O God, we ask, O God, that You will inspire us, You will motivate us, O God, and encourage us and challenge us, Father, to live a life for You and for You alone. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. I came across an interesting story about a pastor who once brought around 10 people onto the stage at his church, and he assigned them roles to play on an imaginary fire truck. He said, imagine this is a fire truck, and he gave them responsibilities. To one person, he assigned him to drive the fire truck. To another, he said, you know, your function is to control the siren. And to another, he said, you know, you need to take care of the fire hose. And to another, he said, you know, you need to work on the steering wheel. And so he assigned these people. So after getting them all in place, and as they commenced their role, he asked each one of them, and he said, now, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? And each answered by repeating the name of whatever job was given to them. After they have done, you know, the pastor said, you know, you're all wrong. You're all wrong, he said. Your purpose, every one of you, he said, is to put out fires. And that is your purpose, that each and every one of you are involved in putting out fires. You know, today, you know, when we reach out in tangible ways to care, to share, and to be there for people who are vulnerable and who are in need with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are showing the love of Christ. And I believe, you know, during this time, particularly COVID-19 time, it has challenged us, right, to find new and inventive ways to share our faith and to connect with one another. In many aspects, you know, the kind of ministry that each and every one of you are involved is like an essential service to our communities. And I know it is not easy, and all of you would agree. But I believe our leadership, our ministry, and your involvement is very important, not only to the congregation that God has given us, but to the communities that we live and we want to serve. Recently, I came across a recent national survey entitled Christian Charities and Well-being in COVID-19, a study that was done in Canada. And in that particular study, they came with three conclusions. And this was the conclusion, and it challenges us too. It's the first thing they concluded by saying that we need each other. Secondly, they said we need to work together. And lastly, they concluded by saying our communities need us now. You know, what a powerful reminder that the communities need us now. We need each other to be involved in this ministry, and we need to work together as one body to spread the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the passage that we just read today, chapter 18 of Acts, is a powerful reminder that Christianity was never intended to be a solo act. God has provided the resources. God has provided the partners. God has provided volunteers and people who want to be part of this wonderful journey of bringing the love of Jesus. In chapter 18 of Acts, you realize, you know, Paul is so eager to move forward in the work of finding new churches. And so he leaves Athens alone. He goes into a large city called City of Corinth. You know, City of Corinth is not an easy place to minister. It is like Las Vegas of the early world, a real tough place for gospel ministry. So where do Paul go from here? What is he going to do alone in this particular interesting place or even a challenging place? But praise be to God, because throughout Paul's journey or missionary journey, we see that God has provided supporters. We hear names like Barnabas, we hear names like Timothy, we hear names like Silas, and the list continues. And someone said that Paul mentions around 76 people in his letters who came along with him, who partnered along with him. And this list does not include the additional hundreds that aided him in the form of local churches. And so in chapter 18, we are introduced to a number of new people who came along, who partnered with this apostle. And they were instrumental in spreading the gospel. Now today we want to spend some time, you know, and draw lessons as to how we can work together, how we can partner together to share and to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe all of us are familiar with the word partnership because it's a very, very familiar concept in today's world. We use words like teamwork, we use like, you know, partnership, and these are some of the words that we use in our workplace or even in sporting arena. But the way Paul uses the word, it's a state of fellowship. It's a state of oneness, association, a joint participation with someone for a united purpose. What a powerful call that God has given to us. Each and every one of us are united for one particular purpose, to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's see some names that Paul mentions and how they were involved and how God uses us too in the ministry that is before us. Firstly, you know, we are introduced to a couple. Let's read in Acts chapter 18. In the couple of verses, Paul says, in first verse, he says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who have recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius have ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. In verse 3 it says, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath Paul reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. You know, what a wonderful, you know, way that we see. Paul comes alone. He's feeling dejected because of his preaching of the gospel in Athens. Probably he was, you know, feeling just downcast. He comes. But God in his mercy, God in his grace, have been working in the background for this man of God. When Paul comes to Corinth, you know, he meets a fellow Jew by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. They were expelled from Rome by Emperor Claudius. Can you imagine it when Paul meets the kind of excitement because he's able to see a fellow Jew? And scripture tells us, you know, they provided accommodation to Paul. And, you know, they were able to work together as tent makers. In that way, Paul was able to support himself. You know, we do not know for certain whether or not they were Christians before Paul met them. They became believers while Paul was with them. You know, interestingly, you know, when you look at the passage very carefully, you know, Paul stayed with this couple for 18 months, one of the longest time, you know, Paul stayed. And they ministered together and spread the gospel. What an influence. What an encouragement. What a great partnership, you know, this couple provided to this minister. They became lifelong friends and missionary partners of Paul. In Romans chapter 16, Paul, you know, greets them by saying these words. He says, you know, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers, he says, in Christ Jesus. And furthermore, he talks about the ministry. He says, they risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Wow. They gave their life and they came along with the apostle. And this apostle is mentioned, you know, six times in the New Testament. Even in Paul comes to the end of his life and he writes his final letter to Timothy, he's just reminded of this couple. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19, he says, greet Prisca and Aquila. You know, what a wonderful way of supporting ministry or the work of God. You know, and furthermore, as we read the passage, you know, they were not just only supporting Paul. You know, when Paul left Corinth, you realize, you know, they traveled with him as far as Ephesus. When Paul left Ephesus, you know, they continued staying there. And they met this gifted preacher by the name of Apollos, who needed some guidance, particularly in the area of baptism. So they met with him. They instructed Apollos privately in their home. They opened their home so that they can spend some time teaching this great preacher, Apollos. Why they were able to do that? Because they benefited from the close association with the Apostle Paul. When you look at, you know, the New Testament, you realize, you know, Apollos, because of their instruction, because of their guidance, you know, he was able to convince the Jews, showing from the scriptures that Jesus was Christ, and they were instrumental for the success of his ministry. What a powerful way of partnering in ministry. You'll tend to realize that they were the first century Christian missionary married couple, and they were even listed within, you know, the 70 disciples. They were not just supporting those who proclaimed the gospel. They were even involved in planting churches. They used their resources to advance the kingdom of God. From being just friends, they became companions in ministry. Tradition reports that, you know, Aquila and Priscilla were martyred together. What a great testimony. What a great testimony of just coming along with people who are involved in ministry and supporting them. You know, when you look at chapter 18, we also introduced to other people who came along with Paul. In verse 5, you know, we read that Silas and Timothy is coming from Macedonia. So they come to be with Paul, to encourage him. And when you look at other passages that Paul has written, you know, they come from Thessalonica and they greatly challenged, encouraged Paul with a message about what's happening with the believers. And that strengthened the task of Paul. You know, he was so encouraged by the Macedonian churches, the growth that was happening. So they brought words of encouragement. They brought words of joy. And this encouraged Paul that he was able to do more with a lot of zeal and excitement. And Paul mentions it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. He says, but Timothy has just come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. What a joy. These two men came. They came to encourage. They came to strengthen. They came to say, we are with you. Because when you read the writings of the apostle, you know, Paul mentions Timothy like a son to him. You know, even though Paul went through a lot of abuse or even in the midst of controversy, these two people never abandoned him. They were with him, helping him, aiding him in his ministry. What a powerful way of encouraging. I think today we need people to encourage. We need people to just strengthen us, to come along with us, to pray with us, to be there for us. You know, that brought excitement to Paul. That brought passion. That brought zeal. And Paul was able to minister much more because of the presence and also the encouragement of these two people. I was reading about an elderly widow. She was very restricted in her activities. But she was so eager to serve Christ. And so she prayed. She said, "Lord, I want to be used by you. Lord, I only know one thing. I just know how to play piano." And then she felt, you know, you must use the gift that God has given to her. So the next day she placed a small ad in the local newspaper. She said, "Pianists will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick or who needs some encouragement through music." And she said, "The service is free." You know, it was so interesting that many people called. And she will ask them, "What hymn would you like me to play?" You know, by the time she's done with the hymn, many of them poured out their hearts to her. And she was able to help and encourage them. She could have said, "You know, I'm an elderly person," but God used her, my friend, to encourage, to motivate, that people were able to, you know, connect with her and just pour their hearts to her. And God is searching for people who will come along to encourage those who are involved in ministry. And ministry of encouragement is a wonderful and a powerful ministry. And, you know, when you look at a particular passage in Acts chapter 18, we realize, you know, as if Silas and Barnabas are coming alone. But when you look at the writings of Paul, you know, they did not come alone. Right? But they came with an offering, a financial support given by the believers in Philippi. And Paul writes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church," he says, "not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only." They came along with Paul. And Paul saw them as, you know, great laborers. What an encouragement. What a powerful reminder as how, as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come along by just supporting and being there. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank my God," he says, "every time I remember you in all my prayers," he says, "I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And every time he remembered them, he prayed with thanksgiving. You know, the church of Philippi is probably the best example of a missionary supporting church in the New Testament. They've supported the apostle for over a 10-year period. Beginning from his second missionary journey through his imprisonment in Rome. When you read Philippians, you know, you tend to see that not only they just gave him, supported him through finance, there were other things they did. In chapter 1, verse 19, you realize they were there to encourage Paul. They were sending maybe words of encouragement and saying, "Maybe we are with you. We are with you in this journey." And in chapter 2, verse 30, you realize, you know, they are sending Epaphroditus, you know, a helper, to be with Paul. Dear friends, I know, what a powerful reminder. The ways and means we can the ways we can support, the way we can pray, encourage, or even give. Let's look at a couple of other things. You know, if we read in verse 6, Paul mentions another person in verse 6 and verse 7. Paul had some issues with the Jews. In verse 7, it says, Paul left the synagogue or the place and went to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God, whose house was just next to the synagogue. And so Paul went to this particular house. I believe this man would have welcomed him. Can you imagine welcoming someone who seriously offended your neighbor or even a significant group of people? But this Justus was willing because he had heard about this man, his sermon or his message, the good news of the gospel. And he opened his door so that Paul can teach, can minister, and use his place for the furtherance of the gospel. When you read in verse 8, you realize, you know, there were many Corinthians who heard Paul, believed, and were baptized. This became the first meeting place of the Corinthian church because of Justus. He provided a place for the apostle. He provided a place for the believers. He provided a place where the word of God could be spoken, could be shared. And many believed and were baptized. You know, my friends, when we open our doors, we realize the kind of blessing that God is bringing. When we share our love, when we share resources, it impacts lives. Let me conclude. When you look at this particular passage, you know, Paul continues with the ministry, but even in the midst of all these people, you know, Paul needed some kind of assurance. In verse 9 and 10, you see that God speaks directly to the apostle in this vision. And the Lord was there for him, and God assures him. And in verse 9 of chapter 18, the Lord says three words. He says, "Do not be afraid." He says, "Keep on speaking. And do not be silent, because I am with you." What a powerful reminder. We see God's sustaining grace in Paul's ministry. And the Lord is assuring this person, this man of God, by saying, you know, "I am with you," together with the people who are there. And Paul affirms this. In 1 Corinthians, when you read chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Paul says, "No, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words," he says, "but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. The Spirit of God was in me and working in me and also through me." You know, God is with us, my friend. God is with us. And his presence is always felt when we are reaching out, when we are, you know, sharing God's love. God provides the resources. God provides the encouragement. God wants us to be part of this journey together as a church to strengthen, to help one another to spread the good news of the gospel. I want to conclude about something that happens during this time of the year and also in the month of fall. You realize, you know, you see flocks of migrating Canada geese flying and you hear their honking. Now, every time I see, I'm reminded of not only God's creation, how God wants to communicate with us and also to remind us through these geese. Now, when these geese fly in a V formation, when they fly together, do you know that, you know, they by their upward air current, by the way they fly, the whole flock gets 71% greater flying range than if each goose fly on its own. So together, you know, they feel, they get the energy, the strength from one another. And that motivates, that helps them in their journey. Interestingly, those in the front, they rotate their leadership. When one lead goose gets tired, it changes place with one in the wing of the V formation. You know, what a powerful reminder of helping, using our gifts, our abilities, our skills to encourage and also to be there. And you'll also realize, you know, the sound, the honking, right? It also reminds us of something. You know, it says the ones at the back are the ones who honk because it is to encourage those in front by saying that we are with you, and it encourages. I came across another research that says there are 13 different calls ranging from a loud greeting and alarm calls. You know, they greet, they also make the group aware of what's taking place. You know, interestingly, when one goose gets sick, you know, or wounded, two of the birds will just fly out of formation and they will just follow it down and to protect the one who is injured until it is able to fly again. That reminds us of just standing or being there for one another in difficult times. What a great reminder of partnership. What a great reminder that we should see ourselves as one in the ministry that is given to us. And let me echo the words of Paul. And Paul, you know, says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, he says, and this is my purpose. And he says, this is my one purpose. And I believe all of us should echo the words of this great man of God. Whatever we do in reaching out or serving, Paul says, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so, my friend, you know, the ministries that each and every one of us are involved, the love that we show, the care that we give, or the ways that we reach out with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's continue to strive and let's partner together. And let us be assured that Jesus is with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for reminding us, God, that you are with us in our ministry, in our, the things that we do for you. And we thank you for providing fellow brothers and sisters. We thank you for the church that you have given us, God, to remind us that we are not alone, that we can count on each and every one of them. And help us, Lord, to be there for each and every one of them too. We thank you once again. We love you, O God. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, as we gather for this Holy Communion, we're reminded from Scripture that Jesus was always eager to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. Even when they gathered around the table, Jesus knew exactly what was happening. He knew that someone is going to betray him and these disciples will just flee away. He knew both the pain of being betrayed and the pain of the cross. But still, Jesus wanted to be with these disciples. His love for his disciples came before his concern for himself. And Jesus wanted his disciples to remember his love, his sacrifice, and also his promise. And so this communion reminds us of his love, his sacrifice for each and every one of us, and his promise that he's with us and he's coming again. Let me read from Mark chapter 14, verses 22 onwards, as we prepare ourselves, as we come together to have fellowship with one another and also with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 14, 22 onwards. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. The body of Christ given to us. The blood of the new covenant shed for us, and let's partake. Father, we come into your presence, O God, with heart full of gratitude for your love, for your sacrifice on the cross for us, O God, and for your presence which never fails us nor forsakes us. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We love you, God. We bless you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.